When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's time for the show that brings the magic right to your speakers. Ears up!
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Ears Up Podcast. We are here, the first episode of October, which means we're getting ready for Halloween, which means this is a Halloween-themed episode, which is why I am looking very cool today. I got my I got my sunglasses on because it's too bright in here with all these lights and stuff, man. So I realized I was on TikTok today and I was watching some podcast interviewer interview Bill Clinton of all people for some reason.
Cool guy.
Talking about UFOs. Clinton.
All right.
Yeah. And the host had on sunglasses. I'm like, you're going to address like just a human being that you're interviewing in sunglasses. But I mean, come on. And then now I'm doing it. That's because it just looks ultimately cool.
The move.
I think the interviewer must have heard that Bill Clinton played the sax. He was like, oh, cool. Cool guy.
Oh, hella cool. I wonder if he still plays the sax. I wonder if he still, like, you know, noodles around.
Whoever abandons the sax, though, really?
I mean,
I don't know. Maybe Bill Clinton's the only one.
I abandoned it after fifth grade, to be honest. See? Sorry.
See? I abandoned the trombone in my 20s and have not gone back. But if I played the sax, I'd still be playing.
I tell you, I was forced into playing the clarinet and I couldn't abandon it faster, man. I could not have gotten rid of that gummy, dry mouth feeling you get after you lick the reed to soak it in your own saliva.
But you could have been the next Benny Goodman. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, I was the Benny Badman.
Oh, yeah. As a brass player, I loved the idea of being a reed player. Oh, man.
Oh, no, I wanted to be a trombone or a trumpet guy. That's what I wanted. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Whatever. Who cares? See, but nobody saw it. Only you jerks. But no one cares. I don't know. Anyway,
Several people saw the video. Come on.
The cool kids play the oboe.
We are here today. Taryn is up dealing with Alice because I don't really want to talk about it, but I scared the poop out of Alice tonight. I didn't mean to do it, but like,
did you tell her about your restaurant?
Yes, I did. I was like, check this out. I was like, daddy's going to quit his jobs and work full time doing podcasting. And she freaked out. No, you guys maybe remember this thing. It's this little toy that I got in Galaxy's Edge I'm sure it has a name, but like the big orb with the spots on it with the tentacles from the Last Resort or whatever it is. What's it called?
Yes, the Last Starfighter.
The Jedi
goes to jail, I think.
There you go. Yeah. And it's that thing. And you push a button on its side. Where is it? And it goes. I don't know if you can hear that.
Oh.
And then you push it again. And it vibrates. Yeah. And Alice used to sort of play with that as a baby, as a toddler. She would come in and like play with it and set it on the ground. And she'd go, whatever.
Just like so Harrison Ford.
Yeah. So I showed it to her. I was like, hey, just tonight. I was like, hey, remember this thing? And pointed at her, she goes, oh, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I used to play it. I turned it on the vibrate thing. And she backs up. She goes, and she's smiling. She almost hits her friggin' head in the doorway going out again. And she runs across the house and like screaming, like shrill, not like, I'm having fun, but like horror movie screaming. And I'm like, my first thought is, wow, she's
with it.
No, I'm just standing there. And my first thought is, wow, my child is really good. She's getting good at screaming. She's getting good at playing. This is fun, right? Then I hear her go, I'm like, oh, no. Oh, and she came at me. She came back walking just terrified of this thing. So I wonder if that's what is keeping her up right now.
So, of course, she grabbed it and shook it in front of her face.
Yeah, I go, look, you're going to be put in the closet for 5 minutes with this thing on in the dark until you conquer your fear. That's what you're going to be doing. Yeah, so I scared my child on accident, but also, you know, who cares? She needs to grow up.
I mean, by definition.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Don't we all?
We have a great show for you today. We are going to be doing some armchair Imagineering finally. It's been a long time, I think, since we've done this. And since it's Halloween themed, we're going to be trying to work up a new Halloween themed spooky eatery at the Disneyland Resort. And I guess it doesn't have to be Disneyland proper, but it can. I don't know. I don't know what the guys did. But somewhere along the line, somewhere in the resort, there's going to be a new Halloween themed restaurant.
Dan's is probably at some sort of like clown resort, like 3 miles off property.
Oh, the murder clown motel.
Yeah. Yeah. They promise a shuttle, but no.
Yeah, a new breakfast buffet at the friggin' Super 8.
Yeah, the show is just what Dan did. Just a windowless white van with like rides written
with a Z and the R's backwards. Yeah, dude, I got you. Absolutely. So we're gonna be running through that, and I think it's gonna be fun. I'm very excited. I got clips to play of mine.
I'm
ready to go, man. Oh yeah, I'm hot and heavy in this thing, man. I was very excited about it. I was very excited about it. I couldn't even eat dinner. I was too happy. I was too excited. But anyway, before we get to that, I want to remind you guys of our travel partner, Concierge. You go to concierge.com right now and take advantage of the really cool thing that Disneyland is doing. I haven't read too much about it, but I saw this article and I sent it to Jimmy right away. I was like, hey, I'm sure we could really use this for our trip in January if it happens now. We'll see. But Disneyland is offering big discounts for kids was like 3 to 9, I think is what it is. I think it's pretty cool. Like they don't normally do that. It's like separate from the child thing, right?
Yeah. So, oh no, this is a super huge discount on both coasts. That's really kind of cool. Like what you're used to saying, well, if your child is younger than 3, they can get them for free because they obviously aren't going to have a good time. And now it's like, oh, we can actually save money on bringing children to the child place that children and adults like.
It's a weird discount to give because you're basically telling people that want to come, you don't have to pay as much money to get in, even though you were totally willing to. Mm-hmm. My friends were just there yesterday and they're like, yeah, dude, after 11, waits are like 30 to 60 minutes, just nonstop. It's wall-to-wall people. So why would you leave that money on the table, I guess? And, you know, I don't know. It starts January. So maybe that's why. Maybe they're anticipating like slower month in the
fewer children. You
know, January, whatever.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. So anyway, check them out. Go to concierge.com if you want to take advantage of that. If you're going to the parks at all, even if you don't want to take advantage of that, they'll help you plan your trip. They'll book everything for you. And see, this is the kind of thing. You can tell your concierge, hey, check out, I want, you know, can we get a cheaper thing or whatever? You don't have to do any work. They will do it for you.
You don't have and to because, challenge them. You know what I mean? They'll do it for you anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of just a thing that we do.
And starting in January, Disneyland will just be filled with children without any parents.
Yeah. It's nothing but kids. Yeah. For sure. It's a daycare. It's like, here, go. I wonder how many children are left to their own devices in the parks, you know, or maybe not so much anymore because of like stranger danger is a thing apparently. But, you know, the 80s or 90s, I wonder if it's like, I'm going to drop you off for the day with your kid, you know, with your friends, you're 10 years old.
I absolutely did that many times. I think, look at you now. I'm fine.
He's there in Tustin.
I'm here in Tustin enjoying life.
Yeah. Your OG bucket list. Anyway, check them out, concierge.com. I'm excited for it. We're going to, you know, finally do the service, and I can't wait. Everything's been great so far. It's been really smooth. Only had to pay $200, and I don't have to pay until December, which is nice. Like, I know everything's booked. I got my reservations. I'm ready to go. I don't have to think about it at all. Okay, well, let's get into the show, everybody. What do you think of that?
Uh-oh.
Who wants to go first? So we're joined by Dan. Dan, of course, from the Supreme Resort.
Hello.
And I appreciate you coming on, Daniel. Yeah. The show, isn't that what it's called? The Supreme Resort?
We still call that
the Resort Supreme? I don't know. Yeah,
Dan, no, respond.
Nothing.
Yeah, well, sorry, yes.
Yeah, anything?
Sorry,
I want to poke Dan with a stick.
The boost, I think we're in the beginning of the booster weirdness, and
Dan's starting to peak right now. Everybody.
Oh, no. He's got the Rona booster.
It'll be a fun confusion, I hope. Oh, yeah, I'm ready to go. I got stuff sticking, metallic objects sticking to me.
Which one? See, and you were smart because you got it after the 5G activation that happened yesterday.
However, I've started to use Bing as a search engine, and I don't know why.
Oh, but that's hardcore.
Oh, I've already been doing
that's,
one.
That's what yeah. happens. Yeah. Which one did you get? The Noro Vax or whatever?
I don't know. I just point and say, give me grape flavor. And they're like, all right, here you go.
And they're like, here you go. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, the Norovax is supposed to be like the one to get, but it also sounds like a disease.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'm gonna, let me get the, it's like you're just picking the disease that'll kill you. Oh, I'll take the, you know, polio. I don't know what it is.
Game polio. Polio. Come
yeah.
on. Give me polio.
Yes, here we go.
Show me polio.
Okay, well, we're waiting for Taryn to come back, and she already said it's going to take a while. So, Eric, why don't you kick us off?
Don't
start us off in the spooky eats thing, whatever you did. Let's do some armchair imagineering with you, Eric. Have you done this before with us? I forget.
Armchair imagineering? I'm not sure. I had to fight the urge to make this a spooky story. I'm like, no, this is a real thing that we're doing. A real
that is restaurant. Next show. Yes, the spooky stories is coming, babe.
Yes, coming. I won't write a similarly spooky story about award wieners.
If look, I really hope, unlike most things that you say, I really hope that this is not a joke. That you will definitely do an award wieners spooky story.
I will now have to do an award wieners spooky story
because I think that'll be amazing.
It'll be great.
It'll be great.
Yeah. 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 Well, here is a very real concept for award wieners on Dan, which Hollywood street are we on in this park?
The DC
Sunset.
I don't know. I don't know.
Skid Row.
I don't know that crap. Euclid. There's lots of Euclid streets everywhere, right?
Okay.
There you go.
Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty safe, man. Yeah.
143rd street. And,
well, it's the main street. So it's clearly Main Street, right?
Yes. Well,
yeah.
We're walking down the street, and when I pitched this to my wife, she said, "There's a place called Award Wieners," and I'm like, "Have you been to DCA?" And she said, "Yes." Like, do you remember the place that sells hot dogs? And she said, "No."
And she said, "No."
Yeah.
All right.
Well, Award Wieners is a restaurant that is currently there along the Hollywood Boulevard or Sunset Boulevard, some sort of boulevard. And I really should know the difference because we've been talking about this for so long on this resort.
It's fine.
And right next to it, there's a fruit cart.
The end. There you go.
There we go. That's so scary. Back to you, Jason.
Yeah.
Ew, thank you. Fruit nutrition grody.
Well, Award Wieners is a hot dog restaurant. And you know what? I thought it could use a little bit of a punch up. The Award Wieners have an array of different offerings at the current time. They've got the Disney 100 stainless steel tumbler. You can choose your fountain beverage, coffee or hot cocoa at time of purchase. It's a metal cup that you can put things into.
Hot cocoa in. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah.
Hot cocoa. Who drinks hot cocoa? It's not hot enough or it's not cold enough anymore to warrant hot cocoa.
It's never been that cold in California. But right. Let me tell you, in Florida, okay. Also not cold enough.
I mean, it occasionally gets down to like 50 or 60 degrees over here. So
no, that's true. Not cocoa weather.
That's true.
Yeah, that's fair.
Bring a light sweater, mm-hmm. like a light wrap or something. Mm-hmm. And you're Gucci. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead, Eric. I keep keep interrupting.
Don your full Baymax inflatable suit to protect against the cold. They currently have a few different types of hot dog, but they're all basically hot dogs with different sort of toppings. Well, why not switch things up for the holiday season? We've got the Oogie Boogie Bash that takes over the Disney California Adventure experience for several nights a week at the tune of several thousand dollars a night. $100 a night? I don't know. I didn't. I should be there tonight. Tonight was the night that I had tickets to. But I'm sitting at home, not going there.
Oh.
You approach Award Wieners and you look at their award wienering menu and you say, huh, this doesn't look Halloween at all. They have all the normal things. The Disney 100 stainless steel tumbler. They have the Tikka dog. They have the Bacon Street dog. The Uptown Chili dog. The all beef hot dog.
Uptown Chili.
But
teeny give me diarrhea.
Sorry. There you go.
It's going to be the kind of show, guys. Sorry.
Yay! Don't be sorry. This is what people pay for.
True.
They also have the plant-based Philly dog. Yep. And film strip fries with or without a whole bunch of meat on them.
It's weird that the Philly is plant-based of all things.
I was going to say the Philly is plant-based because, you know, one thing about Eagles fans is that they are very much
all I want is the onions and the mushrooms. I don't need the meat.
Hey, I'm macroing here.
Well, if you guys remember, that was Terrence's favorite.
It was, thing, yeah.
Like on the at Disneyland Resort.
I also think it was performative on Terrence's part.
Everything
somehow
is performative on Terrence's part.
What a diva! Oh man.
Yeah.
Well, you walk up to Award Wieners and you say, "I'd like that plant-based Philly dog," and behind the counter there is a scared looking person, cast member. Pale in face, moist hair plastered around their visage, shaking a little bit. Okay. Sure. Whatever you want.
Dan's working at Award Wieners now.
Yeah. Dan's long hair plastered around his face.
Yes.
And
so I have enough for.
You place your order, and they say, "All right, it's going to take a little bit. Can you just?" Just head past the fruit cart and into the courtyard, and we'll get your order ready. So you walk toward the fruit cart, and the fruit cart is now there's a man standing there wearing a butcher's apron, and it has a fair amount of rust color on it.
Yeah,
and he's just gesturing. He doesn't speak. He gestures at the various fruits in front of you. You know the fruit cart. They have the pineapple spears. They have the grape clusters. They have the pickles, all in nice, neat, ice-encapsulated troughs. Well, all of those troughs have melted, and all of the things in the fruit cart are now moldy.
Mm.
They look horrifying, and so does the man who says, "Would you like to have some grapes?" And you walk past the man, because you would not like some grapes. And you walk into basically the Mad Tea Party, if you recall this, or the Tron thing that they did for a bit. You walk into that courtyard where they have the stage. They had DJs on the stage. There's fog everywhere. There's rad music playing. You're told, just wait for your ordering group. We'll take care of you in a moment. And there's cool music playing. There's it's a little bit spooky, but you're just having a good time. Maybe somebody hands you an alcoholic drink. It's fine.
Maybe.
And or a non-alcoholic drink that looks like an alcoholic drink. It's just blue. Just drink it. It's fine. Comments so far?
I'm with you.
I don't understand. So I'm ready to go.
All right.
I'm ready to figure it out.
When he offers you the grapes, does he like mash them weirdly?
He's got some moldy ones in his hand, and he's like, "Would you like some?" And they just dribble down his glove. Perfect. He's wearing a black glove.
Perfect.
Yes. Okay. Perfect. Yes, I love it.
For sure.
Yeah. I'm all
on board. And you're waiting. And eventually the person who took your order comes and says, "Can you please follow me? We need to head back into the kitchen. We need your input on this order." So you walk back into what was, you say, "Oh, wasn't this the massively cold, ultra air-conditioned room that once held a bunch of Avengers merch?" No, now this is a scare house. You walk into the warehouse behind Award Wieners, behind PhilharMagic. They had that
Frozen. It used to be the... Who Wants to Be a Millionaire thing?
It was Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, as Brian pointed out to me earlier today. Fairly recently, they sold a lot of Marvel merch. You walk into there and you're following your server, who is basically welcoming you into a scare maze. This is Disney's first scare maze, a la Knott's Berry Farm, not Scary Farm, or Six Flags Fright Fest. And you're walking through and you see various stations marked film strip fries, and they're grinding up costumed characters. Mm. Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness.
No. You turn a corner. Home style chili. And there's one of the country bears going, "No," reaching out to you.
Nice.
You head past the station marked Disney 100 stainless steel tumbler, and it's Iron Man saying, saves me. And you hear a clank, clank, clank. And you see on a conveyor belt behind him at the end of the grinding machine, stainless steel stumblers.
Yeah.
Coming out several at a time, just because it rhymes with stumblers. You head past this grisly entourage and you get to the end of the maze. And various characters come by and say, "You're next." And they grab the server who was so scared when she introduced the menu to you, and they throw her into a grinder of her own, his or her own, their own.
Their own, thank you.
Marked all beef hot dogs. And you come back out to the front and they say, "All right, so we've got your tikka dog. That's sweet and spicy pulled pork with fiery tropical chutney served on a toasted bun with cuties, Mandarin Origins, or film stir fries. You can pick the fries or the cuties. But yeah, here you go. And there's also a large garbage can nearby for all the people who no longer want to eat somebody, even if they know that it's a maze. They know it's a maze, but you no longer want to eat a hot dog.
Sure.
Somebody you just saw at the start of the maze. So same menu, absolutely the same menu. Everybody's wearing the same costumes, but there's a super cool, rad, scary maze.
So while you're waiting for your food, it's something to do rather than clogging the boulevard there.
Yeah. Okay. Don't go into Disney Junior and watch the, you know, Doc McStuffins.
Don't do that.
Show.
Doc McStuffins.
Yeah.
Eric.
Yes.
Who hurt you?
Brandy.
It was Dan.
Yell along. I'm actually concerned that this might lead to people, when it's not Halloween, complaining that the hot dogs are not fresh anymore.
That's Dan's one concern.
Yeah. You know, a few months ago I was here and I saw the sausage being made. I'm just saying.
That's right.
It was Tanya.
Tanya go. Time to go.
And it tasted the mustard, just fantastic. The beef, just, oh my goodness.
So. Very good, Eric. Good job.
Wonderful.
Thank you.
Very scary.
Oh, wait. Someone wants to say something. Hold on a second.
Man, was that ever scary. Woo boy, I'm all kinds of freaked out now.
Oh.
Yeah. There we go.
It was Walt Disney.
Said he was freaked out a little bit.
All kinds of freaked out. Oh, I'm glad to have freaked out Walt.
Thank you, Walt.
Yeah, you scared Uncle Walt. Taryn, do you want to go?
Of sure. I will go.
All right.
Mine is...
bad.
Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Can't see me. I mean, I can't
Jason's
see
Jason's been murdered.
Yeah.
Mine is not like yours at all.
Well, thank you.
All right.
Mine is more spoopy, let's call it.
Okay, let's do that.
So mine is the Carthay Circle Restaurant. I took inspiration from the Silly Symphony, the Skeleton Dance. So,
no meat on skeletons, by the way.
They're all hot dogs.
No meat on skeletons.
Yeah.
That's right. What happens after the hot dog. Right. You go from there to Carthay, yeah.
They're vegetarian. So you're in the lounge, right? You're waiting for your table. Maybe you got a drink at the lounge, whatnot. Who knows? But as you walk up the stairs to the restaurant area, once your name has been called, there's this light gradient that happens where you go from the normal kind of pinks and light oranges and mauves of the lounge into this sort of aqua color. And this is created using only aqua-colored bulbs. And these aqua-colored bulbs are going to be used through the entire restaurant from this point forward. And after a couple of minutes in this type of lighting, your eyes are going to adjust. And it's going to create an atmosphere that is similar to monochrome. So once you're at the top of the stairs, everything should start to appear as if it's in black and white. So meanwhile, the classic jazz music of the lounge fades into the quirky kind of xylophone heavy music that you would hear in Silly Symphony, the Skeleton Dance. So you're kind of really getting into this vibe. Now, imagine you're up the stairs, you're walking right past the elevator now, and you're walking along the walls where the bathrooms are, right?
Right.
And in those halls, and I don't know if you've seen Silly Symphony's The Skeleton Dance in quite a while, but it's a little 5-minute short and it starts with lightning, which is perfect. So in this hallway, as you walk through, and of course you're walking through pretty quickly, you're just getting to your table, but you're going to see lightning and there's going to be lots of wind and you're going to see projections of trees and an owl and bats. And this wind you're going to actually feel because there's going to be hidden fans that are going to hit you. So you're going to really start to experience this.
Like listeners are going to come out and beat you up?
Uh-oh.
Yes, those kinds of fans, exactly. Okay. So you're seeing these projections of lightning and an owl and it's wavering on a branch from the wind. And then once you're in the dining room, again, remember everything is aqua, right? It's this black and white.
But, blue.
And just so you know, I had to do some research. Uh-oh. You cannot create a room.
Bull crap.
Humans cannot see a room in black and white. And is impossible. Because if you make all the lights gray, gray is not a color. It is not going to block out any of those colors. So the only way to...
Are you saying the environment can't be black and white?
To a human, to your eyes.
Okay.
Yes, okay. In real life, it cannot be black and white. So the only way to capture that vibe is to have all of the colors, all of the lighting in that area be one color. And your eyes will pretty quickly work with your brain and it starts to feel like it's in black and white. And I chose aqua because I thought about yellow, but then yellow to me was a little too close to white and a little too cheery. And I didn't want to go too dark or too creepy with like red or like a blue or a green. So
no, red is the wrong choice for that. Yeah. For sure.
So I settled on aqua because to me, aqua was still kind of that bright, that kind of xylophony vibe. But it would come across, I think, as kind of that black and white feel.
Okay.
Also, by the way, since we're on this, there are glasses on Amazon that can do this for you. Which was another idea I had, but I realized I was just going to change all the
face glasses, not water glasses.
No, yes, face glasses like that. And I guess they're for painters.
Oh,
anyway, I learned a lot. It helps you. It helps them see different shadows. Anyway,
a monochrome rainbow goes the more you know.
Yes, exactly. So, OK, once you're in the dining room, everything is aqua, a.k.a. black and white. Your eye is drawn to that vaulted ceiling that's in the middle of the room. So it's kind of a rounded room. And in the middle, there's this. It just your eye just naturally goes to the top because there's this big chandelier and there's the wine in the middle and all of this stuff. So your eye is
kind of a Bambi pastoral.
It is. But we're not going to worry about that because we are going to be seeing.
Yeah, Eric,
don't worry about
shut
that
up, is what she's saying. Yeah,
we're not going to be seeing that right now. Right now, we are going to be seeing projections basically from the short film, which is like bats going around, trees wavering, spiders, there's a cemetery, there's a church, there's cats fighting, and of course there are skeletons dancing. And this is essentially your main attraction here, right? And this is going to continue in an undetectable loop. So it's going to keep going, but the way that the projections go kind of circular, it's always going to feel like it's new to the person sitting down.
Okay.
Throughout the dining room, and of course, over your dinner, you're going to hear some old-timey kind of Halloween music like this.
Like grandma used to play.
Yeah.
So no Monster Mash.
No. So
okay.
If you're still with me, yeah. We've still got that Carthay vibe, right? We're still kind of in that Carthay place.
That makes sense. Okay, so you don't want to leave the sort of upper class vibe. You just want to plus a little bit.
Yeah, we're just bringing in some skeletons, essentially. Some little bit creepy, but you are having a very expensive and very nice dinner. So we don't want to take that away from anybody. Okay, so the servers are going to be wearing aqua-colored skeleton jumpsuits. Now, this is a little bit of a far cry from what you see Carthay servers wearing now, but the idea here is that the aqua color is going to blend in with the lighting, and it's going to look like your servers are dancing around the tables, serving everybody. So they are going to essentially look like dancing skeletons. Now to the menu. There are three prefix menus here, okay? There's an alcoholic version, a non-alcoholic version, and a kid's. Now, let's start with the alcoholic version. This is truly for an alcoholic. We're just going to go there. You have to come very hungry. So we're going to start you off with a pre-dinner cocktail. And this is either, you have a choice of two, either an what we're calling injured lauders or the Manflatten, which is a Ginger Rogers or a Manhattan. God.
What is wrong with you?
For the appetizers, we're going to have charcoal-infused cheese biscuits and firecracker duck wings for your table. And just as an FYI, cheese biscuits no longer available at Carthay, and I am personally offended by that and several other things about this place currently. For your salad, you are going to have a farmer's market heirloom tomato salad with artichokes and a basil pistachio vinaigrette. This is currently available, but this is part of your prefix menu. For your wine with your, for your entree, thick cut pork chop with creamed corn. I don't know why. I don't remember writing that. Sorry.
Maybe a like ghost wrote it.
Weird. I would not. I'm gonna change this right now. We're not having creamed corn. We're gonna have a pork chop. We're gonna have a baked potato. Like, come on. Nobody wants creamed corn when you can have a potato.
Who are we talking to now?
Is the creamed corn in the room?
They're here. They're here. We're not having creamed corn. We're having potatoes. If you are a non-meat eating person, then you would also have the option to have braised mushroom raviolis. Your wine for this evening is going to be an Oregon Pinot Noir.
Like O-R-G-A-N?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also from Oregon.
Oh, yeah. Well, sure.
Oregon. Your dessert for this evening is going to be a pomegranate sorbet with a pumpkin caramel drizzle. And your final is going to be a Wake the Dead, which is an Irish coffee. Now, for your non-alcoholic menu, your pre-meal mocktail is going to be called a Ring Around the Rosie. And it's going to be a rose petal soda with a splash of black grenadine. And with your meal, you know, you can pick your choice of fountain drink or whatever. And then your final is going to be coffee or cocoa. And now your kids' prefix menu, they're going to get all the same stuff, but just obviously not alcohol. So their pre-meal drink is called a Quirky Owl or a Bones McGee. And that's either a Shirley Temple or a Roy Rogers. Their appetizers are called Spider Catchers. Crackers. I just spelled it wrong.
What an error.
Hey, it works either way. They're spider crackers. So they're crackers.
I think spider catchers is good.
Yeah.
I think spider catchers is better. And definitely was one of those things where you could have not said anything.
I know, but I have to explain what a spider cracker is. So a spider cracker is a sandwich cheese cracker, right?
I don't know.
Sandwich
All right.
A sandwich cracker. Why do you have your sandwich?
Because he's cool.
Why? Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's too bright in here.
A sandwich cracker.
With all these ideas.
Two crackers. Oh, Jesus Christ.
The cat fell off the
What off a revelation.
I can't hear now.
Cat fell off the desk and pulled Taryn's headphones out of them.
Okay.
The cat does not want this specific sandwich cracker to be discussed.
Taryn's head out of something.
Jeez Louise.
All right, go ahead, Taryn. Tell us about a...
Spider crackers. This is like child's appetizer. It is a sandwich cracker when the little legs are pretzels. That's all. It's all I was trying to get out. Their salad is a small, tiny crudité plate. Their entree is either a ghost quesadilla or worm pasta with butter, which is obviously spaghetti. They get milk or water, whatever. Their dessert is vanilla ice cream with pumpkin caramel on the side because kids are picky. And then they also get cocoa at the end of their meal if they want. Now, this total experience, $150 for the alcoholic version.
Pass.
$100 for the alcoholic version and $45 for children. These prices are highly discounted from what Carthay would actually charge you now. I'm just saying. I added it all up. Now, some of the smaller details. All of the utensils that you're going to be using this night are going to be shaped like bones. And the napkins are going to be black and white with Silly Symphony stills printed on them.
They will be stolen.
Hence the price.
The pre-dinner cocktails.
As someone who steals silverware.
The pre-dinner cocktails will come out in a coupe glass with bat etchings all around. The wine glasses will have a skeleton hand as the stem, right? And the final cocktail will include an owl and a moon-shaped stirrer. And all of these items are available for purchase at an additional cost.
The final comes alongside with a side order of a silenced pistol. So you can really just end it all. Go ahead.
And that's actually it. That's my restaurant.
I love it, Taryn. Good job, dude.
Oh, I didn't get applause.
No, you didn't, because I just remembered I had it. But let's see what Uncle Walt has to say.
Man, is that ever scary?
No, ooh, boy, Walt, stop it. I got to generate first. Oh. So I'm going to have fun editing tomorrow, guys. This is going to be... Here, to start over again.
Good job, Taryn. I'll contact Bob tomorrow and see if he can pull his head out long enough to make this happen. But don't hold your breath.
Mm. I like that pause.
Yeah.
I will say, okay, I have to say, small rant. I won't go on very long. I know we got things to do. In researching this, I had to go to the menu for Carthay. And I have to say, I was flabbergasted and personally...
You were angry.
I was angry. I feel personally victimized by the pricing of that restaurant.
No, it's bad.
$70 for a steak. Mm. $48 for ravioli.
At that price, you should buy also, you can get a side of steak in the company. Like that is $70 a lot.
Absolutely insane.
Well, right now, that's
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the price of those entrees made the drink prices seem like a steal. I was, after looking at that menu, I was like, you know what? $16.50 for a Ginger Rogers? Give me three. I'd rather have three of those than a steak. That's all I'll say. But I was, I'm still very angry about it because that's one of my favorite places to eat at Disneyland. And I don't think I will go there again unless they do my idea.
Well, how else can they afford to only be open like 2 hours a day?
Well, right.
They don't have to only be open 2 hours a day. Yeah,
that's the point.
Okay, very good, Taryn. We're going to take a quick break and then we come back. Dan, do you want to go first or do you want to go last?
I'll go technically next? Third. So next.
Yeah, next. Okay. All right, so stay tuned, everybody. We'll be right back. Dan's going to hit us with his restaurant idea and then I'm just going to flatten everybody with the best possible idea that could ever even be thought of by a man who's
but have you thought about handsome. Not changing the menu at all?
Yeah, it's just this kiosk. That's it. Just that, and that doesn't change. It's Clarabelle's ice cream, but people scream boo at you when you're done ordering. That's it. That's my idea.
Mine's just alien pizza.
All right, everyone, hang on. It's ears up. We'll be right back.
And now, back to the show that ignites your dream wish of imaginations and magical color wonderment of forever. Ears up.
All right, thanks for hanging on, everybody. Before we get to Dan, I want to let you guys know that summer is over. It is officially fall. However, if you live in California, or specifically the San Francisco Bay Area, it is the farthest thing from fall you could ever imagine right now. It is like 90 degrees outside. It is hot as Hades in this room, which is, pretty, it works well with our vibe. We're going with the Halloween thing, which is pretty good. But if you're out there and about and you want something nice and refreshing to drink while you're enjoying the last of your summer weather or whatever, don't forget to check out Hell or High Watermelon Wheat, or our personal favorite now is Hell or High Mango. That is delicious stuff. The brewers at 21st Amendment brew an American wheat beer for both beers. With real watermelon juice or mango, creating a refreshing, fruity, and quenching beer, or what they affectionately call summer in a can. Hell or High Watermelon Wheat will make any weekend barbecue or beach time activity that much better. I tell you, last week I was like, oh man, this is over. You know, barbecue season is done. And then the last 2 days have just been like, ugh. Like 8 o'clock, and you don't even open the doors in the morning. You're like, that's not, this isn't. I love climate change. It's a lot of fun. When visiting the California Bay Area, be sure and stop in at the at the 21st mm-hmm. Amendment San Francisco Brew Pub at 563 2nd Street, which is right around the corner from Giant Stadium.
Ooh.
And also be sure and visit the brewery tap room just across the bay in San Leandro with an outdoor beer garden and everyone's favorite cheese curds, everybody. Mm-hmm. Which My they favorite. Are delicious. Like just the warm, the breading. It's, I don't really.
Oh, I love a good fried cheese curd.
Dude, you gotta try these. These are great.
And I don't know if we've said this on this show, but Sully, one of the owners of 21st Amendment, he actually like went on like a US tour to find the actual cheese curd that he wanted for his restaurants.
Wow.
Because
true.
He was that into cheese curds. And
which Wisconsin town did he choose?
Unknown, actually.
Unknown, but they are delicious, and you can tell that there is love built into those.
Love that love.
It's true. All right, Danielson, yes. Let's go, man. What do you got for us, buddy?
I have Alien versus Predator, Napa Rose, Hell's Kitchen Experience.
Oh, my God. I'm already scared.
Oh, you should be.
Do you really?
And I probably shouldn't have done that reveal because I wanted to present it in a certain way. So pretend you didn't know.
Didn't know boost, what?
Booster's kicking in. Booster's kicking
yeah.
in. Okay, here we go. It truly is. As we all know,
I have 11 toes. And therefore,
as we all know,
my foot. Yeah.
Yeah. As we all know, the purchase of Fox has given Disney access to a bunch of different franchises that they haven't really utilized. You got Simpsons, Family Guy, MASH, Die Hard, American Idol, all those, you know, franchises. They have yet to do anything with them. People talked about what can they do with Family Guy, what can they do with The Simpsons, possibly open a MASH pavilion in Epcot, you know, normal things for people to talk about. Disney, they also have a few facilities which are underutilized throughout the day, like we talked about with Carthay. They also have Disney Junior Dance Party that's only open during the day. Napa Rose and Carthay only open at night. So this leads to nothing but opportunities for synergy, right? So the obvious direction to go in here is Alien versus Predator in Hell's Kitchen at Napa Rose. Now, this works because the facility has an open kitchen layout, which lends itself to competitive cooking.
Sure. Which is one thing we're experts at is competitive cooking.
Right. I mean, you've seen the shows, right? And in this concept, Chef Alien and Chef Predator have decided to put away their bloodlust for one another to duke it out where it really matters, preparing culinary delights for tourists. Now, Alien...
to impress Gordon Ramsay as well.
Well, that yes, there will be a Gordon Ramsay as, you know...
You call this a chest burst?
Yeah, totally.
What is this?
Now, Alien, I feel like, needs to be animatronic, but he's in the kitchen. But Predator and Gordon Ramsay will both be costume characters. Now, Chef Predator's
Gordon is costume.
Yeah, what is... Yeah, okay.
Now, Chef Predator...
Like that Genesis video, the Phil Collins video.
Yeah.
It's like they're all the puppets and all that.
Well, I'm fiction. It's like a face character. You know, it's someone playing sure. the part of Gordon Ramsay.
Okay. Or I like the idea of he's in a costume.
Or a mascot costume. Either way.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't be able to yell insults at people if he was the mascot costume. And that's, of course, part of this. So Chef Predator's menu can feature a selection of game meats like boar, rabbit, elk, and venison. And those are underrepresented in theme park cuisine. So that's an opportunity there. And there's another meat called the Chef Special, which is kind of heavily implied to be human, but it's going to be pork because apparently we taste like pork is what I've heard from my cannibal friends.
You hear that, Taryn? Tastes like pork. You don't have to worry anymore or wonder.
There we go. I don't have to wonder.
I was typing that in the chat, by the way, during that episode. It's like pork.
Also,
honestly, though, pork is kind of delicious. So, yeah. Like,
also, I can't. This is another episode of I can't tell if Dan is kidding or not when he says he has cannibal friends. Because if anybody on this show or on this network would have cannibal friends, it would be Daniel, and he would be like cool with it, but he wouldn't like sleep over at their house.
Yeah,
I'd be like, hashtag woke one star.
I don't need to try it.
Yeah.
I won't confirm or deny whether I have cannibal friends.
See that's what I'm saying. Now I don't know.
Honestly, I don't either.
Okay. Well, I mean, that's somehow less comforting, but go ahead.
I know. Chef Predator woman I'm pretty sure I don't. How about that?
That's, you know, that's all we can ask in life, man, is to be pretty sure our friends aren't cannibals. That's all.
I feel like at least one of everybody's friend is.
Sure.
Wow.
Anyway.
Yeah, think about while you're listening to this, take half your brain and think about which of your friends would be cannibals.
And give them a call.
Yeah.
For sure, Terrence.
Hey, Dan. Dan, you all right? You eating beef tonight? No, or are you a vegan again?
Really I think it would be Bev. I think it would be Bev.
Bev, I think Bev has a sensitive stomach.
Should we call her and ask?
Pocket human meat?
If she's a cannibal?
Maybe we'll call her and ask. Go ahead. Dan, anyway, continue, right. Please.
So, Chef Predator will menace his team of cooks to deliver high quality gourmet food. He's also going to tour the dining room, using only weird, like assertive motions and gestures towards the food. Like he's trying to find out how much you like it, but he can't speak. Right. So he's only like making hissing sounds to communicate to guests, and pictures will be encouraged, but no one will communicate this. If someone says like, "Hey, I want a picture with Chef Predator," they'll be like, "Absolutely, no problem." But he's going to be like, I guess what I'm trying to say is he's going to be trying to be friendly, but he's the Predator, so he can't like speak. All he has is those hissing sounds and, you know, pointing aggressively, right? Because he's very concerned about what Gordon Ramsay. Yeah, the mouth, well, the mandibles. Yeah,
I mean, look, yeah. not to be that guy, but the original Predator or the the Predator. Never mind. I thought you were talking alien. I was like, alien's a girl, though. But go ahead.
Okay. So Chef Alien's menu will, of course, be largely inspired by the work of H.R. Giger. So that's going to be lots of pasta with tentacles, ink, oil, and lots of eggs. So many eggs.
Like squid ink?
Yeah,
squid ink. Yep. Pastas? Okay. Yeah.
There'll all be right. like yeah. weird bug dishes from other countries. And
oh, like crickets?
Yeah, like lots of eel. All right. Now, the obvious question here is how will Chef Alien interact with the guests if he's an animatronic? So the idea here is to make it so terrifying that no one would want to. But if anyone asks, there will be a special setting on the animatronic where Chef Alien smiles with both mouths for the camera. And no one will explain this. It's just a possibility. And all the servers on the alien side will look weird and sickly. And they heavily imply that they are hosting a chestburster, which could spring out from them at any moment. And one of them could have survived this and now has a chestburster sticking out of their torso, which is actually a puppet, like the Figment and Dreamfinder thing. And okay. like Figment, this chestburster will enjoy taking hats off people's heads and tossing them on the ground. And throughout dinner service,
delightful.
Oh yeah, throughout dinner service, Gordon approves of each dish being served or refuses to send them out. He insults the chefs, calls them names. They look sad and promise to do better. And once all the guests have been seated and served, it is revealed that this is also a dinner show of sorts. Gordon Ramsay announces that they have a secret celebrity guest who has come by for a surprise dessert course. And who is it? Well, of course, it's Mickey Mouse himself. Both chefs are excited to see him and a little bit starstruck. And now that the stakes have been raised, the two competitors become more tense. Unable to attack one another due to their gentlemen's agreements, Chef Alien and Chef Predator become increasingly irate and take this out on their kitchen staff. That's, of course, leads to Chef Predator brutally slaying his kitchen staff. But he has no choice but to prepare the dessert course all by himself. He's visibly shaken by this and fumbles his way through the kitchen. Pots and pans are falling. He mimes his displeasure like someone doing things wrong in the before footage in an infomercial. And Chef Alien is saddened, of course, by this and begins to weep. Oh, I'm sorry. I skipped something. COVID booster. Mickey is scared by this and he runs away from all the noise because he's a mouse, right? So he's scared.
Sure.
And yeah.
It's I love when you bring logic into the Chef Predator, Chef Alien so Hell's Kitchen battle.
That's my favorite part. So Chef Alien.
They act. Yeah.
It's exactly what a mouse would do, right, guys? Yeah. It's real.
Obviously.
I love realism.
Yeah. And what I love about that touch is that it ignores that Mickey Mouse is basically human. So Chef Alien is saddened by this and begins to weep like profusely. And his staff tries to control him, but oh no, his tears are acid. So, or her rather, I don't know. And so we're then retreated to a horrific display of live practical effects as the kitchen staff all dies painfully of acid burns. And the wait staff jumps in to help because they have to complete this dessert course. But they all die a gruesome, gory death as chest bursters erupt from their torsos in unison like the grand finale of a fireworks show. So then Gordon Ramsay has had enough of this and yells at them to shut it down and go back to the dorms. Now, this would also be a great opportunity for Gordon to mention all the places they could be staying on property. And if they have any open rooms, he can suggest, like, you know, maybe you want to stay at the Pixar Hotel. No one really stays there anymore, but we have a special deal. And then Chef Alien and Chef Predator both sadly go away. Chef Alien's animatronic is hoisted into the ceiling, and Chef Predator walks away sadly, dragging the corpse of one of his chefs. Gordon tells him to leave the body, of course. And there, it's clear that there's like genuine support and appreciation in their relationship, and that Gordon is a good mentor. And as Chef Predator walks away defeated, Gordon yells, "Predator!" Like, we think he's in trouble, right? And Predator just, the door turns and looks at Gordon. He's kind of like, "Oh no, I'm in trouble." And Gordon just kindly says, "Get some rest and do better tomorrow." And then Predator smiles, makes a hissing sound. He leaves, you know. And then,
classic.
Yeah. And then Gordon, as he leaves the restaurant, he does things like he always does at the end of his shows. Like, he ad-libs things like, "Oh, dear, dear, better get a medic." Or, you know, just saying the name of a dish that he found especially amusing. And then the show's over. They can sell merchandise. So that's my concept.
Wow. Okay. My favorite part about it is that it's like the classic, typical Disney fair.
Yeah. Same yes. with Eric's.
It's just like, oh, no, they changed the menu. Like,
but classic, you know, everybody dying kind of thing.
Well, they've got the Gordon Ramsay scallops, of course.
Yeah,
of course, the scallops are there.
Yeah, the Gordon Ramsay animatronic puppet is hawking his pots and pans. You know, classic stuff, man. Yeah.
Classic.
Yeah. Good job, Daniel.
Thank you.
Oh, wait, hold on. I think someone wants to say something.
Oh,
Walt, what do you think of that?
Daniel, I think you need a hug there, buddy. Can I hug you? Will you hug me back? Would that be weird? Could we sweat? All interesting things to consider.
Could we sweat?
Walt's getting a little old.
That's awesome.
He's like 95 years old.
He doesn't know what he's saying.
This is genuine human emotion.
Yeah.
Transmitted through sweat.
Daniel, I think you need a hug there, buddy. Can I hug you? Will you hug me back? Would that be weird? Could we sweat? All interesting things to consider.
Yeah.
All interesting things to consider.
Definitely interesting things.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots to ponder. Lots to ponder.
All right, Mr. All right, Handsome.
Well, that's our show.
Now for supposedly the best one ever.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What I think Disney does really well as a company is take their tentpole characters and give them new dynamics within the holidays, right? You have Mickey and Minnie in their like little Christmas sweaters, or you have Minnie and Daisy as cute little witches, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But what I think Disney could do better is use the holidays to bring some attention to the lesser known movies and IP that they already have. Beyond this being a way for me to be cool and talk about these movies nobody has heard of, I think this just makes sense for a number of reasons. The most obvious reason is that Disney already has made these friggin' things. They've already made these movies. The hard work is done. They have the lore baked in. They have the background. They have the characters. They have the costumes. They have the sets. They have all of it, right? Let's remind people that these things exist, these lesser known movies, which I will get to in a second. Even if the movies aren't good, kitsch is in, baby. You're already making costumes for the holiday characters, so the cost isn't going to be that much more than it would be, you know, anyway, right? You have Goofy in his, you know, little skeleton costume or whatever. You could put that budget somewhere else, right? Something more interesting than that. The parks have always been a funnel for the Disney IP. As much as we want to believe that Walt was just trying to build a place for families to come and have fun, it's more about making the films a part of their nostalgic place in their minds rather than, you know, oh, families are cool and we need to help them. I'm helping you. I'm doing you a favor. No, you're putting me at the top of a sales funnel. So to that end, let's bust out some fresh ways we can use already existing characters for an amazing throwback-ish Halloween event. It's called Creatures of the Night, or like something else. I don't know. I tried to get something like a really Disney related, but my brain wouldn't go that far. My brain is not as infected.
Creatures of the Magic.
Something like that. Yeah.
Enchantment.
Enchantment of the Creatures or something like that.
Or Critters, because Critter Country, you know?
It also takes place in Hollywoodland, like Eric's does, right in front of that building where Flynn's used to be, the same area that had the Mad Tea Party and the Tron Dance thing, you know?
Yep.
Oh, the other building.
Okay. Yeah, the other building. Used to be Hollywood and Dine.
So just to clarify, you're talking about the giant underutilized area in between one very large underutilized building and the other very large underutilized, or sorry, not utilized building?
Correct. Okay. Yes.
Got it.
Yeah. What this event is an evening full of bites and sips, which Disney loves. Basically, a Halloween version of the Food and Wine Festival. You have various food and drink tents or kiosks set up in the area, each with a different theme, and each one in conjunction with a local eatery or drinkery in the LA area.
You created a beer festival.
Yeah, basically, because I like the idea of the food and wine festivals, but I want it to be more SoCal oriented.
Okay.
So let's work with some of these places. LA has a ton of really great places to eat. So let's work with them. They can work on the menu. We can get some little cross promo going. I think it'd be a lot of fun for everybody, right?
Sure.
But they can be themed to whatever I'm going to be talking about next. Themed to these different movies, right? So you can, and I have some examples later, but whatever. But what do they serve here? What food are they serving? I will come back to that because it's now time to talk about what the hell happens here. What happens at the Creatures of the Night Food and Wine Festival Bite and Sip?
Okay.
Creatures of the Night is a home for all the weird-ass characters from Disney franchises that we really don't know about or forgot about for various reasons. Either we want to or our brains don't work. As we walk around biting and sipping our way through our savings, these characters roam freely, interacting with us as we justify aloud why we feel good about a $10 taco. There are spots off to the side for photo opportunities, each themed to the character. The whole space is designed like a funnel, pushing you into the whole into the old Hollywood and Dine building. My list of characters reads like a who's who of under-rented VHS tapes at Blockbuster.
Okay.
But the people who grew up watching this stuff are the ones who are going to the parks now, and their kids have probably seen all this crap as well. So let's give some love to the following. I'm going to list the movies, the brief synopsis from Wikipedia about the movie, and then the character I want to bring in. And then I do have some clips to play of some of this stuff, but not the first one. The first one, Frankenweenie, 2012. The synopsis is young Victor Frankenstein is a science nerd and an outsider at school. But he does have one good friend, his dog Sparky. But then tragedy strikes, and Sparky shuffles off this mortal coil.
Aww.
Victor is heartbroken, but his science teacher gives him an idea of how to jolt old Sparky back to life. The experiment is successful, and all goes well, until Victor's fellow students steal his secret and use it to resurrect other dead animals. With monstrous consequences.
Mm.
Here, we're going to pull the dog, Frankenweenie, and since it's a real dog, he's probably only going to be a photo op. I don't really think asking an animal to be in a costume around hundreds of people is all that cool to the animal, you know what I mean?
But I don't like that, yeah.
Yeah. His photo area can have Mr. Whiskers, the cat from the movie, and some of the other characters, probably cardboard cutouts or whatever. If you haven't seen this movie, you gotta do it. I'm sure it's on Disney Plus or whatever. It's directed by Tim Burton, so it's cute as hell. It's very much Corpse Bride, you know, Nightmare Before Christmas sort of, but it's great. It's cool.
I've never seen it.
It was a short, and then I think it became a movie, and then he made it into a movie or whatever. It's cute.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. This next one is called Under Wraps. And it was released in 1997. It was remade recently in 2021. Here's the synopsis. Three 12-year-old children, Amy, Marshall, and Gilbert, encounter a mummy which has been undiscovered in 3,000 years.
Oh, I get it now.
While investigating, they accidentally revive him, but he must be returned to his resting place by midnight on Halloween, or he will never find his long-lost love. So I'm going to play a little clip of the trailer for Under Wraps, and you are going to watch it, and it's going to be good.
Kind of sounds like Encino Man a little bit.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that.
Gilbert and Marshall, Amy will be with you too.
You're the new girl, right?
I'm Amy. Welcome to the secrets of the Egyptian tomb. Shouldn't there be another mummy? The mummy mysteriously disappeared.
I found a stolen mummy.
Hey there, nice mummy.
You want me to get the mummy into my house with my mom home?
You're the one who loves mummy.
Who's your friend?
That's terrible.
Kid from school.
He's actually pretty cool once you get used to him. Here, it's hot sauce.
The mummy, it's gone.
Oh, great dance.
You gotta stick with us, Harold. It's not safe to run off. We need some expert advice.
If he doesn't make it back into his coffin, he could turn to dust.
We have to help Harold. Friends have each other's backs, right?
Grab him now!
Harold, watch out! I don't know if I can do this.
Face your skateboard.
Fears, remember? We're in this together.
Watch Under Wraps on Disney Channel.
Oh, Dan.
Dude, I would have loved that movie when I was like 10. Oh, man.
Yeah, sure, man. You know, there you go, right? Like, what are you going to do? I don't know. There you go. That's it. That's Under Wraps. So we're bringing the mummy for this one, of course. And, you know, those of you who are listening to it instead of watching the trailer, which, by the way, go watch the trailer. That was the 2021 remake trailer, which is the best sort of quality. But the mummy, you hear the, he's like giving a thumbs up, or there's one scene where he chugs a bottle of hot sauce and then burps real loud or whatever. Very slapstick, very funny, very educational, very cool. Imagine this thing ambling down the aisle of the Bites and Sips Festival, right? A combination of Encino Man and, well, the mummy, I guess. This would be awesome because he could do little gags and stuff like that with everybody. I think it'd be fun.
It would be. No one would know who he is.
Absolutely not.
He would just be the mummy.
They would just think, oh, look, it's the mummy, right? Yeah. But that's what I mean. Then you can go to the photo ops and like there's, you know, more stuff. And it's recent enough where, you know, it's made on the Disney Channel.
The kids might know.
I think people might know who, you know, who it is.
You'd probably get the original actor to play it.
Probably, right? Yeah. Black Cauldron, 1985.
Oh, yeah.
In the land of Prydain, lowly pig herder Taran dreams of
really?
Well, I think it's Taran, but I like Taran better.
Nice.
Dreams of becoming a gallant knight. Young Taran receives his heroic calling when the evil horned king kidnaps Henryn, a prophesying pig that has been entrusted to Taran. Now, with the help from his furry sidekick Gurgi and Princess Alanoe, Taran must locate the magical black cauldron.
I've seen this movie a lot.
Before the Horned King is able to use its mystical powers to summon an army of the undead. Now, this one is a little harder because it's animated, but I think it's still doable. You have the Horned King walking around with Creeper, which is a little right-hand goblin, right? It looks really cute. Big ol' eyes. The King's Guard are there too. Maybe just walking around. I think it'd be awesome stuff, right? People might not know this, but I think there's enough interest in the Black Cauldron where people would know. And I think you can really drive a lot of interest, especially they're trying to find people to watch stuff on Disney Plus anyway. I think all the stuff is on Disney Plus. So it's a perfect thing. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah.
Mr. Boogity, 1986. Yeah. Have you guys heard about this movie?
Yep.
Here's the synopsis. A novelty salesman moves his family into a new house. Initially dismissing incidents as more of their father's practical jokes, the family soon learns that the house is haunted by people who lived in the house 300 years previously. So I'm going to play a trailer for Mr. Boogity, and I want you guys to absorb it fully and see how much you enjoy it.
Tonight on the Disney Sunday Movie, the Davises are moving into a new house.
Definite fixer-upper.
Where the tenants are deceased, but not departed. Oh,
this house is not haunted.
Hey, it's a mummy out.
Boogity man.
What boogity man?
Boogity, boogity.
Now it's every man, woman, and child for himself.
I saw him!
What a weirdo.
Dad's gonna negotiate with Mr. Hamburger.
It's spirited family fun. Mr. Boogity.
I'd move.
Mr. Boogity.
We're gonna watch the whole thing.
So here's also an intro by the one and only Michael Eisner.
Hello.
Oh, yeah. Hello.
Yeah, basically. It's more audio than visual, so I apologize. I'll just cut this out of the pod, maybe.
Oh.
Oh, God, no.
Good evening. Excuse me, I'm just finishing up a little work.
Subdued hello.
Welcome to the Disney Sunday Movie. Now, I admit that tonight's feature, Mr. Boogity, is a little weird. It's a family comedy all about ghosts, evil spirits, and a very haunted house. But look at that. The guys in the special effects department here at the studio knew I was introducing Mr. Boogity. And this is their idea of a little joke. Very funny guys. Pyrotechnics, wonderful, really. Phone book, hot telephone call. Nobody has a magnifying glass. Okay.
He's such a good actor.
Great.
He's
I'm
great.
My coffee.
Boogity.
Say, guys, this is not funny. This is not funny.
Right.
I just hope you figure out a
way right.
to be back by next week. Good night, guys.
I got another movie to introduce.
You know what? I've always been an Michael Eisner hater, and I'm not going to lie. That made me kind of like him.
It was cute.
Bob Iger would never do that.
Absolutely not.
Chapek, never.
Oh, I wish
because
he did.
He can't.
Oh, yeah. God, I wish he did. Oh,
he doesn't have that chip in his brain.
No.
Yeah.
But
Eisner wanted to be Walt.
I kind of liked it.
Eisner wanted to be Walt. Iger just wants to buy everything. He's like me. He just wants to buy things.
This movie has shown that it's going to be highly profitable and be very popular with our fans.
So for this, you got to have Mr. Boogity, which I don't know why it's not Boogie, the Boogeyman, but Mr. Boogity. And, you know, he shoots lightning out of his fingertips and says Boogity.
Also,
pretty much
like the Emperor from Star Wars.
Yeah, and the Candyman mixed together.
He looked too scary. For a Sunday movie, like, he was too scary.
Yeah, but you know what? It's Disney Channel in 1987. Who cares? So this is what I say. You got to have Mr. Boogity. He might be too scary for kids, but who cares? They need to grow up anyway. But I think that would be great, Mr. Boogity, walking around town going, Boogity, Boogity, Boogity. Oh, that'd be awesome. All right, this next one, Can of Worm, 1999. This is a one-sentence synopsis, and it is thusly. A teen is visited by aliens after he broadcasts a message into space. So here is the official trailer for Can of Worms. We're gonna watch this and we're gonna discuss. It's actually a shorter one. There's two. I found one account that has both trailers on, but this is a shorter trailer. So we're gonna watch.
I legit have never heard of this one. Mr. Boogity, I know, but this,
this is actually on my watch list. I haven't watched it yet, but I
will. Sister out of his mind.
You are definitely from another planet.
But when he sends a call for help into outer space,
come and get me!
He'll be out of this galaxy.
You have opened up a can of worms.
Now it's up to him to save his family and the world.
They said it.
More fresh air.
Can of Worms, a Saturday premiere of a Disney Channel original movie. April 10th, 7, 6 central, only on Disney. Saturday, April 10th.
Yeah, we're just going to watch the world premiere the minute long one. Movie.
For Mike Pillsbury, life on planet Earth has never been easy.
You idiot, you're running the wrong way!
So he sends a call for help into
classic
space.
Fellow citizens of the galaxy, I do not belong on this planet.
Come and get me!
Interesting voice text. Voice to text already, right there.
I am Barnabas from the star system Puppis.
Oh boy.
I am the Bull. How do you do? My children, you have opened up a can of worms.
I never thought the thing would work.
Now, the most popular kid in the world.
More and more specific will be snacked.
Has the biggest problem in the galaxy.
Is everything all right? You look stressed out.
On April 10th, lock your doors, hide your food, and be careful what you wish for.
I can't just take off in a spaceship. I freaked out at sleepaway camp.
Can of Worms, a Saturday premiere.
I freaked out at sleepaway camp. 10th, 7, 6, 7. Anyway, there you go. That's Can of Worms, everybody.
All right.
So for this,
I'm not sure I like that medallion that dog.
Oh,
had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Barnabas. You got to watch the trailer. It's weird, man. The main monster I want to bring out here is the slug kind of alien guy.
For sure.
With the human mouth and teeth.
Yeah. No, that looked awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one. Imagine this thing slurping around at your feet. I think this would be so much fun to see. I think it'd be really great. The next one I want to talk about, Zombies, from 2008. This is a Disney Channel original, and this is the last clip I'm going to be playing. We're almost done here. But I think that's the wrong thing. I think zombies, you gotta bring out. I mean, this is just classic.
Zombies?
Zombies.
My nieces love zombies.
See? There you go.
There you go.
All right, here we go. Let's play this trailer.
The first day of school. A time for new beginnings, renewed friendships, and, well...
Zombie!
Wait, what?
Zombies.
Zombie!
This kid's such a bad actor.
Hello?
You're safe, for now.
I'm Zed. What's your name?
Addison.
Zed!
Got it. Zombie.
I'm so sorry. My parents have always taught me that zombies are disgusting, dead-eyed freaks, but you're not hideous at all.
Thanks.
Oh, God.
You're either pro-cheerleader or pro-zombie.
Yeah.
Humans don't really like zombies. That's just because they haven't met me yet.
At this school,
how do I try out for the football team?
You don't.
It's time things changed around here.
It takes guts to be yourself.
Who's the zombie? I'm the zombie.
This is some woke garbage.
I'm not a monster. I'm a zombie.
Zombies, a new Disney Channel original movie coming in 2018 to Disney Channel.
You know you're talking to zombies, right?
I'm fighting against intolerance. I fought mine by eliminating dairy.
That's actually pretty funny, man. I'm sorry. I'm fighting intolerance by eliminating dairy. That's funny. It's a funny line.
I could definitely see Alice watching that in like 2 years. So.
Two?
Yeah, my niece is absolutely both of those zombies movies. Yeah, and Descendants and all the others that were coming out around them. They were totally into it.
Yeah. Well, so the synopsis for this movie is the students of Seabrook High School are thrown when students from Zombie Town transfer to their school, and both groups must work together to prove they can embrace the differences to celebrate their community. Which, you know, on top of everything else you have to worry about in high school, those kids from Zombie Town coming over should not be one of them.
No.
You know what I mean? This would be fun and super cheap to do. The costumes are just sort of like darker color tones on normal clothes. And the makeup isn't really that graphic. It's just some sort of like, you know, grease paint or whatever. There's at least one.
Green hair.
Yeah. There's at least one dance number here. So that would totally have to happen live. Can you imagine? Breakdancing zombies? Come on now.
Only problem I can think of that is that a bunch of people would be like, why is there a bunch of Joker here?
Yeah.
Oh.
I'm damaged. So those are some of the unknown things, because here at Creatures of the Night, we are not trying too hard to play to the common denominator of Jack Skellington or Mickey doing satanic blood magic. But we also have to play up some of the more recent things, of course. So you can pull some cool stuff like Werewolf by Night that came out last year. Probably Hocus Pocus, just because there's a third one coming. Sorry, I misspoke. A third one. And of course,
maybe.
What esoteric revival would be complete without the one thing that literally makes every project better? The Muppets. The Muppets Haunted Mansion would have to be represented here. It'd probably be the only Haunted Mansion thing referenced in my little area.
Okay.
Muppets Haunted Mansion,
Dan, I'm pointing at you,
was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, did you not like Muppets Haunted Mansion?
I haven't watched it.
You haven't?
There you go.
I watched the first 5 minutes and I was like, I know what this is and I have no interest in it.
Oh, you're missing out
mm-hmm.
on I don't a think lot I of am. Joy.
I don't think All I right. am.
Well, I think
my feeling is it's just like, we're going to do the Haunted Mansion, but it's Muppets and that's why it's funny. And
what clued you in? Was it the fact that it's the Muppets Haunted Mansion title? Is that the
okay. And I kind of hoped that they would bring a little bit more to it. And
but you didn't even watch it.
You didn't watch it. You can't say that.
Yeah. Maybe they did bring more to it.
Like what if it's called Muppets Haunted Mansion, what did you want them to bring to it besides Muppets and Haunted Mansion?
I'm not the writer.
What did you think Muppets Haunted Mansion was going to be about? I'm curious.
I was hoping that they would maybe do something inventive with the idea.
Like, okay, and they, yeah, like what?
Okay. let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Do they have Kim Irvine in it? Because I can't imagine.
Well, you know they have Kim Irvine in it. Yeah. You know that they do.
That's the one part that sucks.
Well, and yes, it is the one part that sucks. But also, if you think about it, on the one hand, it's pretty inventive. Who else puts the creators of the things in the things, right? Quentin Tarantino puts himself in movies. That's about it.
It seems to me like a lot of the humor is just based on like, hey, you know that thing? Here it is, but now it's Grover or something. Yeah. You know,
and
I get that some people like that. That to me is the most irritating form of humor. Just be like, yeah, remember this?
Mm.
This is delightful having this argument off to the side instead of me arguing with Dan directly.
Yeah, it's different, right? Yeah, I mean, I guess the whole concept of the Muppets is a send up, but it's just like Mad Magazine or whatever, right? So it's if you don't like that kind of satire, then I guess but, you don't like this. But
it's usually they add something more with their filter.
Well, so the Muppets do a pretty good job of doing it. Anyway, I think, you know, one day when you're bored as hell,
every day,
just watch it, see what happens. You might actually really enjoy it. Who knows?
Give it a shot.
But anyway, back to the funnel. Inside the old Hollywood and Dine building, you have merch from all the IP that we saw outside. Characters come from outside into this shop, interact with you in line, like sort of like the stormtroopers in Galaxy's Edge do, and sort of interact with you in general, right? Maybe you're picking out a top and the mummy goes and gives you a thumbs up or whatever. Okay. The food served in the kiosk is, again, themed to these different films, shows, and characters. And here are some food ideas. Frankenweenie, right? You have three different hot dogs stitched together in one bun.
Ooh. Oh, my God. Okay.
Can of worms. Some kind of like mango molecular gastronomy thing where you have a slug-shaped container of thickened mango juice with some like passion fruit foam for the slime.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, the foam's good. Yeah. Yeah. In for the foam.
Hocus pocus. Just a big plate of candy corn.
Gross.
Yeah. This event only happens in the evening, starting at 5 p.m. and runs until close. And you know what? Just because I'm in a good mood here, let's have it be a dance party also. A raucous event that doesn't really know what it is or even what it wants to be. You know, like DCA.
Okay.
That's well, and that's great because you get to see everybody loves to watch zombies dance, as we've seen in every zombie movie ever made.
Yeah,
it's true.
Yeah.
And
well, you get enough cocktails in you in DCA, you're going to be a zombie dancing too.
And mummies too. They love it.
Well, yeah. I like it.
Well, there you go.
So it's not a ticketed event. It's
not a ticketed
event.
You
just can go there.
It easily could be a ticketed event if Disney wants to do it. So here's if Disney was going to do this in 5 years, it would be free for everybody. And then in 5 years, it would be a ticketed event. And then it would run to like 11 or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
Disney has that step. I really do think that they do stuff.
They test it.
Fully planning on charging for it, but it's free now. I give you a taste. The first one's free, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
The second one will really make you fly.
Fast passes were never going to always be free.
Ah, yeah. Who knows, man, right? Anyway, there you go. That's it.
I love it. It was so outside of what I thought you would do.
What did you think I would do?
Because you went to Disney Channel made for TV movies.
Original movies.
It's like it's a far stretch for you.
Well, I tried to think of things that could actually happen.
Yeah.
Unlike Daniel.
Hey.
You could.
You never know.
I mean, it could. You're right.
I mean, the DCOMs get in the parks. Come on.
Yeah. I think it'd be.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I think it'd be cool. I don't know. Even that's, I guess, what I mean to say is I tried to think about stuff that we could actually do, that they would actually do, why they would want to make something totally original, especially in an area of the park that doesn't get any love at all. You sort of go there to take Instagram pictures because no one else is around, and that's it.
Yeah.
Let's do something with it. Let's bring some of this IP back, because they are movies that they've done before, obviously, right? They exist. So let's bump them up. And clearly there's something about Mr. Boogity. Which is also, there's a sequel called The Wife of Boogity.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, God.
They did the next year. There's something about Under Wraps because they just remade it, right?
Okay.
So they gotta be looking at stuff anyway. So, you know, how are we going to get this stuff in there, right?
Yeah. And zombies apparently is a very big deal.
Apparently.
So,
Dan, has your show ever done anything around that area of the parks? I'm curious.
Which one? The David Bowie
that
one?
That's Supreme Resort.
Supreme Resort. Have we? We have done a Monsters. We touched on the overlays involving. Wow, my brain is failing.
COVID brain.
It's really it's fascinating because it's like I go into I got this, and then halfway through it's like. No, the floor is lava.
Half of the sentence just doesn't pan out.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Well, we're currently trying to get through the entire Hollywood area so that we could have a versus of the two Hollywood. Eric, could you for a moment pretend that you aren't also on this show and say the things that I should be saying?
Also a Hollywood area in Walt Disney World at Hollywood Studios of all places.
Yes.
Yeah, we're actively working on finishing out the Hollywood streets.
Oh.
So that we can have a Hollywood street versus Hollywood street.
Okay.
Nice. Very nice.
And cool. Yeah, that's been an ongoing saga for the last year.
Sounds like.
And we derail ourselves kind of constantly.
Sounds like it also.
On purpose.
Yeah.
Like a mummy.
All right, well, that's it, everybody. I appreciate you guys tuning in for this weird Halloween-themed eatery, spooky eats, whatever the title Taryn came up with. I appreciate it very much. If you want to support the show, go to patreon.com/earsup and sign on to be a Patreon supporter. That'd be really great. You get the secret show. You get all that kind of stuff. For everything else you want to know about, we have a website. It's called earsup-podcast.com. There you can track down old episodes of The Supreme Resort and Scraping the Vault and Puny Pod and Bantha Milk for all of your Star Wars and Marvel and weird esoteric Disney things. I don't know what goes on over those other two shows. I don't know. I don't listen to them. What are you going to do, right? Anyway, thank you very much for tuning in. I appreciate it. Dan, thanks for joining. And I hope your COVID vaccine treats you well, buddy. You know, protects you like a hug from Walt Wood.
Exactly, less, like
minus the sweat. Yeah,
it smells less like cigarettes, but whatever.
Yeah, and scotch. All right, everybody, thanks a lot for tuning in. Until next time, we'll see you in the parks.